count one. The following is an interview with former Utah receiver Ken Scott on the Brothers of the Holy War podcast. Enjoy. First, you've been out of the program for a little bit. I read a story on you about what you were doing down in Texas. We just wanted to inform Ute fans of what Kenneth Scott's up to.
Yeah, definitely. So from that, actually, I kind of changed roles, different industry now. Now I'm in the light of, you know, working with different businesses, trying to find the right solution to reduce expenses that increases their bottom line to help them more efficient. So that's typically what I do nowadays, just act as a consultant to businesses to get okay. them to be more, you know, productive.
And are you still down in Texas?
Mm-hmm. Still down in the H-Town.
Okay. I should introduce you to my podcast partner. This is Chase. He's a BYU fan. Don't hold it against him.
No, you're up, totally Janet? Fine.
How you doing, buddy?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Oh, man. Just thinking about 9 losses is all. So.
It's all good. You know, I'm sorry. I can't relate. I'm sorry. I get it, but I can't relate.
That's fair. Thanks for coming on, though. I appreciate you doing this. It's awesome to have a Ute on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem at all, man. I'm one of those Utes that have a perspective on both sides, so you're good. I'm not one of those douchey kind of Utes.
I appreciate that. So that's funny. Well, I know you're originally from Texas. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was born in Texas, but raised in California for like majority of my life, but came back to the roots.
Gotcha. So how did someone from Texas and California landed Utah Utes?
You know, I find that interesting. You know, they won me over on my official visit, and then when Coach Whittingham, Coach BJ, and Coach Rod all came to my house, when I went on a official visit, it was so diverse, totally opposite of what I expected. people were scaring me before I went there. They were like, are you serious? Do you know what's out there? I'm like, oh, shoot, what am I stepping into? But when I stepped down, I seen the snow, never seen the snow in my life until then. Wow. And then just got around the teammates. You know, it just felt like home. It was different. My teammates treated me like family. You know, everybody came from different backgrounds, and they were so well diverse between Polynesians, African Americans, Caucasians, you know, Latinos. It was just literally every culture you can just think of was in one room or one, you know, for one mission. It was crazy. I'm like, wow, this is one of the most diverse groups I've been a part of, which was awesome. And then, you know, fast forward to Coach BJ, Coach Rod, and Coach Whittingham coming to my house, and you know, them coming to my neighborhood and just feeling at home. I was like, wow, okay. And for them, it was more than football with, you know, with us. It wasn't about, oh, we just want you as another number. It was, you know, we want you because we want to help you proceed in life after football. Football's great, but we want to proceed you in life afterwards. So that kind of was what won me over and got me over to Utah.
Sweet. I love hearing that. And that's what you hear about Coach Witt all the time is how much he cares about his players. As far as playing receiver at the University of Utah, that's something I've always wanted to talk to somebody about. What is it frustrating? Like, you're not playing at Washington State where you're getting the ball all the time. You're having to block first. Like, what is it like playing right receiver at the University of Utah?
Terrible. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding. But nah.
I was not expecting that. That's hilarious.
Nah, it's totally kidding. You know, playing receiver there is very humbling. I definitely would say that. You have to switch your perspective from me to we. Definitely within those offenses. When I first was getting recruited, it was during the time where they were passing the ball so much. You know, with the Freddie Browns, the David Reeds, the, you know, receivers like that, the Braden Godfreys. And so they were passing the ball a lot. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to come into a system that's going to pass the ball. They're telling me I'm going to play as a freshman. I'm excited. I'm geeked. I'm like, and we're going to the Pac-12. It's a dream come true. So it's like, okay. Then when I get on, all these different changes, had a different offensive coordinator every year. So to be honest with you, it was tough. Just in that part, because obviously receivers, you want 10 passes a game. But, you know, it's very humbling, and you have to have a perspective to switch your mindset from me to we. It's more about the greater purpose of the team. And during my tenure, the purpose was to, ground the ball. I mean, run the ball and, ground that clock away. And when your opportunity does happen, where we throw the ball to you, make the most out of it. And so it makes you prep harder because you know that the opportunities are very limited. So you just got to make the most out of your opportunity. But it was very humbling because you don't really get that many opportunities. But it helps you, as far as being a team player, because you have to learn how to block. You have to think about other people and things of that nature. So it was very humbling.
Well, thanks for being real. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
So I had a question for you. So you talked about as you're being recruited, being excited to come into the Pac-12. Did you get one season in with the Mountain West before you switched?
Yeah, I was going to, but I got hurt my freshman year. It kind of ruined that plan, which was kind of, I guess, bittersweet. It was a good thing that I had gotten injured because I didn't play in the Mountain West. It was just all Pac-12 for me.
Gotcha. So I guess you might be having to glean a little off of some of your teammates' experiences, but I was kind of curious some of your thoughts as far as going from Mountain West defenses and the very next year facing Pac-12 defenses and how different that was.
Well, I can definitely tell you this because I was on the sidelines. And, I was still still there physically. And mentally, I was there. I wasn't out there. I'm not like the spiritual guy that's out in the globe and just roaming around. Like, I'm not Catholic or anything. I was there. But no, watching it on film, there's definitely a difference. I say as far as depth is concerned, I remember freshman year TCU. Golly, that team was stacked. Like, we got our butt whooped. But, I think the main difference is, just the depth part. Your ones and twos, your ones are going to be pretty solid. You just got to make sure those twos are good too, because injury may happen. You just never know. And so the glaring difference is just the depth portion of it.
Okay, so let's take it to the present here. I need your breakdown. Mm-hmm. What happened last Saturday? Last Friday night. What happened to the Utes?
Man. To be honest with you, offense, they did pretty well, and except for a couple parts, red zone, I believe they could have done better, a lot better as far as, play calling is concerned. But I see that they were trying to mix up things a little bit. But I think we should just kept traditional and still just ground and pound it. It's like the fumble when we tried to do the read option. We should have just, hammered it in, before the half. Another one, we tried to do the same thing. End up getting 3 points out of it. And so I just think we kind of a little self-inflicted on our end. But as far as defensive-wise, I didn't think we played to our ability at all. We have a great secondary, and I believe it was just one of those off games that they had. It sucks that it was against a team that you wish you had the best game against. But I guess it's a learning experience. It shows them that they aren't as high as they may have thought, so it kind of humbled in a way, which is cool. But I think that, they're going to come back with a vengeance, because Washington State, they're going to pass the ball 70, 80 times a game, so they're going to get the opportunity to make up for what they didn't do and lacked last week.
So Coach Witt mentioned in a press conference recently that they might have to look at their tactical situation as far as defensive goes. Utah's always been press man-to-man and rush four. Mm-hmm. Do you think after last week they changed that going into Washington State, or do they lean on Jalen and everybody else and say you're going to have a better game?
Man, it's tough because, we do have the athletes to stack up man-to-man against the people. Now, you know, you look at Washington State, they're like a Big 12 team, and we always criticize the Big 12 teams because they have no defense. But looking at it, like, man, it's kind of hard to play a certain type of defense against those offenses because, you know, if it's man-to-man, they're going to kill you with the speed of the game, get your guys tired, make those one-on-one plays. Well, if you're a zone, well, they have schemes that's going to exploit those zones. So it's like you're really in a bad position whether which way you go. So it's tough in that regard. But for us, I don't think we're going to change too much, probably put a little bit more pressure on them. You send more than they can block, so they can have to get the ball quicker out than expected and then press up the receivers to knock off the timing. So I still think we're going to still play our defense. The guys are just going to have to raise up their level of play than what they did last week.
So I have a question as far as, you know, we all watched and you could just get that, even as a BYU fan, you get that sinking feeling when you see Moss hurt and going to the locker room. You had some similar experiences as far as being injured. I think you were out two seasons. Is that right? If I'm reaching back a little bit. Okay. What would you say to someone like Moss that's looking at, okay, do I try and do a medical hardship and extend another year, or do I try and get healthy and go to NFL or come back as hard as possible this season? What would you say to someone like Moss in this situation?
His situation is kind of tough, you know. In his position, his value is based off of his body. So, however, man, it's tough because I know what I would say is for him, it was just selfish. For it has to think of it in two ways. If you're going to be selfish or you're going to be a team player, I think we have the running backs in the stable to be able to, you know, handle their end of the bargain to not do as good as Moss, but maybe, you know, hold up their end to still be efficient enough as with these different type of running backs we have. But if you look at it from Moss's perspective, we don't want to hurt his chances of the next level. If we keep running him to the ground, it's going to hurt his long-term, you know, long-term as far as in the NFL is concerned. They're going to, now, if he keeps getting injured, that's going to, you know, downgrade him as far as his grade. He might go later in the draft. Like, we look at Booker. He's obviously a top first round, second draft pick, but injury derailed him and knocked him to the fourth round. It's like, wow. So I don't want him to be in that same position, always knowing that the running backs have the shortest playing span out of everybody.
Right. Right.
So selfishly me, looking out for his long term, I would like him to chill until he gets his body completely right. Even though I know that record is in his head to want to be the all-time guy.
Yeah.
But for me, selfishly for him, because I want to see him go to the next level. That's selfishly me. I want to see him go to the next level. I think he deserves it. So for him, I want him to hold back to make sure he's okay. I don't want him dinged up too much to where it hurts his chances in the NFL. But on the other side, I'm like, shoot, I do want this guy out there because he's a freaking monster. But I do have confidence. Like, I do have confidence in the other guys so that they can get the job done. So I kind of, hopefully that kind of answers your question in a way.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And he's definitely built for the NFL. I don't think it's a question of, you know, if it's a question of when. He is a beast. And I saw that first week, unfortunately.
And, you know, I feel bad for, you know, the guy, Williams. From BYU.
Yeah.
I feel so bad. It's tough.
But from what you were saying there, it sounds like you think that they could bring him back and still not run him as much as they're running him, right? Like, we saw last week that while there is a drop off, not everybody's Zach Moss. The other kids can run the football still, right? So you think that's a possibility in the future? Like, bring him back, but don't give him, we don't need to give him 30 carries a game. Maybe give him 15 to 18 and let those other kids have a chance.
Exactly. Do his management load, just like what the Rams are doing with Todd Gurley. The commentators were even talking about that, about Todd Gurley, that they were, you know, using him too much. And by the end of the season, it's like, man, it's tough on him. So at least do management load. Just give him 15 to 18 touches. I don't know how you're going to do that. But give him 15 to 18 touches. And then let the other guys get in as well, because they're pretty talented as far as, you know, you see DAC. He did a great job going in, scoring a touchdown. I think his name is Broomfield, big back. Scattered for like a 35-yard run. We still have Wilmore. Like, we have a stable of running backs. We still got TJ Green, you know, so it's like we have a stable of running backs. We just got to get them in the game and use them so the Moss won't have that much load on him.
Okay, two more quick questions for you. As a receiver, break down Utah's receiving core for me. What needs to get better? What we need to see more of? What's been good?
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see other receivers is just more balls their way. It sucks, you know, as a receiver, like I said, because you don't get that many touches to everybody, but I hope that doesn't dismantle their confidence. I hope their confidence is still high. You know, even though we don't get a lot of passes thrown our way, we still are a vital part of the offense, because when those third downs are needed, we do need to make those plays. And so I just want to see the consistency factor out of them. Just be consistent. That's all that matters. When the ball's thrown your way, do your 111th, catch the ball, get the first downs, keep the drive going so we can hand it off to our stable of running backs. When an opportunity comes to make another big play, let's make it. So that's, you know, for the receivers, just being consistent, keep confident, because during the course of a game, it does weigh on you. It's like, man, I only get one pass thrown this quarter, two quarters. You see the other team, 10 passes in one freaking drive. It's like, what the heck am I? And then you start thinking to yourself, like, am I not good enough to get that? Like, you know, and it's so it plays mind tricks on you a little bit. But, you know, I just hope they just keep their confidence up, knowing that it's nothing against their skill set or anything. It's just how our offense is running. And just be confident. Do your 111th. When the plays are there, just make them. And when the opportunity is there, just make them and make the most out of them. So that's one thing I'll tell the receivers, you know, stay confident and just be consistent when the plays are thrown your way and the opportunity is given.
As far as play calling goes, from what you've seen from Andy Ludwig so far, you think there's more to come, or have you been happy with what you've seen? Obviously, want to score more points, throw the ball more, but compared to what you've had through your career.
Yeah. I think so far it's pretty cool so far. I know there's more to it. I would like to see, I love what's the little guy named? Jalen Dixon. I love his game. He's pretty explosive. He's pretty cool. I like Brian Thompson. I want to see more of Solomon Enos. I want to see more of Nasua. I don't know if it's Nasua. I don't know how to pronounce it. I just call him Nasua. Samson. I'm just going to call him Samson.
Samson.
I want to see more of him. I want to see more balls thrown to Simpkins. So as far as the play calling, I just want to see more passing in the air, whether it's over the middle, quick stuff, just to, you know, create the balance, you know, so teams won't stack up that box, and you know it will open up the run game even more for us if we happen to, you know, even toss a little one step hitch out there, just toss it out there, you know, keep the defense honest, and because you never know, we throw a little hitch out there, one missed tackle, he's going to the house, you never know. And so I just wanted to open up a little bit more, just to expand on the passing game with the involvement of the receivers more. That's what I want to see.
Perfect. Okay, last one, then we'll let you go. What has to happen or change this week for Utah to get a W, and I want a prediction from you?
Man, what has to happen is, just like last week, we have to control the possession, time of possession. We have to control them. We have to limit their opportunities on offense, and when they are on offense, we got to get them not scoring on every possession. They're going to have 10 possessions probably. We got to have them at least scoring on 3 or 4. Like, they cannot pass 30 points. They can't, or the game's over. So my prediction for this game, it sucks, but I think it's going to be 38-27. We're winning 38-27.
Okay.
I think the defense is going to hold their end of the bargain from last week, but I think the final score is going to be 38-27, Utah.
I mean, UCLA put up 67 on it. We could put up 37.
Yeah. I'm hoping. But knowing us, we're going to ground and pound, and that time is going to waste.
I'm hoping he opens that playbook just a little bit more, and we find some way to score more quickly. It takes us 7 or 8 minutes every drive. Hopefully we can do a little more than that.
Right. That's true. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, man, we're going to be honest with you. I think those six, seven minute drives is going to, you know, obviously limit their people on the field as far as the offenses. So in a way I kind of want them to do it, but in a way I'm like, all right, enough of this boring stuff. Let's hurry up and score a touchdown real quick.
Man, that's awesome. Well, I think you're right on that time of possession. Just kind of watching that game last week, I got a chance to watch a little bit of the Washington State game, and then I watched a good chunk, or actually most of the Utah game. And it's mm-hmm. going to come down to if Utah can hold on to the ball for long periods of time and then finish those drives with the touchdown and make it one, you know, like you were saying, make it a 1 or 2 stop game. If they can stop them a couple mm-hmm. times from scoring, I think that's got to be in the back of the defensive coordinator's mind, or Coach Witt's mind. But
that's how Coach Witt loves to win football games, right? That's not just a fan thing. Yeah,
Coach Witt and him's ground pound, control the clock, and our defense wins games. Ground pound, control the clock, defense wins games.
So, Kenneth, I do have to ask, being a BYU fan, and it's been interesting because we've asked a few different people this same question that is directly mm-hmm. tied to the Holy War. From a player's perspective, because we know how the fans can be sometimes on both sides of the ball, from a mm-hmm. player's perspective, how is it playing in the Holy War? How do you look at the Holy War and the players in it?
To be honest with you, I think the Holy War is pretty cool. Maybe because I'm new to it, you know, being from California. I see USC, UCLA, and I just love the rivalry, sort of like the USC Notre Dame, and I love rivalries. And so I think like this is a natural rivalry for so long, and I just love, you know, the history of it. You know, when I first stepped on campus, I just, you know, you go to a grocery store, a little 6-year-old kid comes up to you and says Utah sucks, and it's like, oh, it's pretty cool. and so like I love like the generational involvement of this rivalry, as far as, man, this 6-year-old kid's gonna remember this until he's like 42, and it's pretty sick. Like, they know every guy on the roster, and so like I absolutely, me personally, I love the rivalry. Others might disagree, but I love the rivalry. I just think it's pretty cool. I just like it.
You'd keep it alive and going?
Yeah, I would. I would, shoot. I mean, granted, I know we've won like 9 years in a row. I know it. And it's not seem as much as a rivalry. Right? And I know it may not seem as much as a rivalry, but it's still pretty cool, you know, bragging rights about the state. A little tournament between, you know, Utah State and BYU. So that'd be a cool little tournament to see who gets like the real rights of, the state, real bragging rights of the state. So, I mean, I look forward to those games. Those games are pretty cool.
Yeah. And I know from the fan base, as you probably know and see on Twitter or whatever, can get heated, but I think those that keep a level head, it's awesome. It's something mm-hmm. that everybody puts on their calendar and looks forward to every year. And there's people on both sides of the ball in families or friends like Andrew and I. And mm-hmm. it's just, it's one of those things that keeps you up and going, you know?
Yeah. Maybe because I'm new to it and people been in this rivalry for like 25 years, you know, cause you know, they looking at it like the Pac-12 rivalries are new to them. So they want to be more on that involvement, or, you know, the BYU rivals or some other team is, you know, more intriguing than, you know, the Utah rival. But I really like it. I mean, granted, I'm new to it, you know, for the past decade, but I still think it's pretty, you know, pretty off. Like, I remember when I first met Austin Colley and his brother Dylan Colley, and, you know, I was working out with him, and they was just talking to me about the rivalry, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. It's just like, it's generational. It's like, man, it's like the old, like, you know, camp story you tell around the fire. You know, it's pretty cool. I like it. I think we should keep it going. But, you know, that's just me, though. I just like that, even though people may think it seems old, but I really like it and enjoy it.
Because we talked to Mitch Matthews a little while ago. He mentioned he still talks to you, and there's other U fans he still talks to. Like, so do you have BYU people you still talk to, or?
Oh, of course, yeah. BYU, I love BYU people, man. Like Mitch Matthews, Devon Blackman, Ross Oppo. Like, those are my guys. Like, Zach, what's his name? We played in the offense defense All-American Bowl when we was in high school. Zach, he was a linebacker. Zach, he's from California.
Zach Daw? No,
not Zach Daw. He was a linebacker. He was from California. Came out my year. I forgot his name. Oh, it's going to kill me. But
I'm drawing blanks now, too.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. Huh. Man, I forgot his last name. I'm gonna have to dig it up now. But no, I still talk to BYU guys all the time. I mean, I love those guys. Those guys are pretty cool. You know, we hold friendships and we'll still continue to hold friendships. I was thinking about calling Mitch Matthews today just to talk on some, you know, business stuff, you know. So, you know, tell Tanner Mangum, Taysom Hill. Like, I remember I went up to BYU and just throwing around passes with Tanner Mangum before he even went on his mission. And, like, we was in the whole thing. It was me, Ross, Mitch. You know, they welcomed me with open arms, you know, running routes with them in their indoor. So, it's like a big old family.
No, but it's awesome. So, we could hang out, right?
Yeah, of course, man. Of course.
Dude, see, is it Zach Stout? Is Zach Stout?
That's it. That's it right there. Zach Stout. Yeah, yep, that's him.
There we go. I got your back.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because he was going to eat me alive. Like, oh my God, like Devon Blackman. Like, I've been knowing Devon since like we were in high school, because we grew up in the same area, like in California. So it's like, man, like seeing him there, I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. And him embracing, you know, BYU is like pretty cool. Like, I really love it. Like, it's pretty awesome.
Okay, I know. I said no more questions, but I gotta ask.
Oh, William! I forgot, my bad. One more thing. I'm sorry, William.
Yeah, you're good.
Can't forget about Jay Swag Daddy. I forgot. He's from the area too. So, like Dylan Colley, he went to BYU. You know, I can name a freaking bunch of people, but yeah, now you got me thinking about all the friends from BYU. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I. You've always been one of my favorite Utah players as I've been growing up, and I have a couple of thoughts in mind about my favorite Kenneth Scott moments, but I want to hear from you, your favorite memory or your favorite moment at the University of Utah.
Man, that's tough, man. Personally or team-wise?
Personally. I want to go Kenneth Scott, personally. Favorite moment.
It would have to be my first touchdown against Utah State when it was a flea flicker. Ironically, it was my first catch and my first touchdown was off a flea flicker. I think the first touchdown would get it because it was a critical moment in the game right before the halftime, I think, and Travis just threw it up, literally just threw it up, and it was like in between two defenders, and I just went up and got it. Well, no, I don't know about that one. Maybe the Stanford game will be the memorable one because it was a game winner.
Yeah, as I say, Stanford. I think my favorite was the Stanford. Wait, was the Utah State one? Was that Jordan Wynn when Jordan Wynn got hurt and we ended up losing at the end?
Yeah,
I was at that one. I remember. Okay,
you don't remember Kenneth? He was there.
that was pass interference at the end too, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Jake totally pushed off. Oh man, that was hilarious. But no, maybe. Oh, I forgot. So there was this play that got called back. We call it the phantom play because Jeremiah Tofiona, he went downfield it was like a double reverse pass. It was like a 60-yard pass from John Hayes, and it was like a crazy reverse pass, and he threw it to me. It was at home game against USC, and I went up against two defenders and caught the ball down. It's against USC 2012, I believe. Yeah, that was a memorable moment too, because the whole saga with Lane Kiffin and me, you know, and I wanted, you know, that game, I was like, okay, I'm going to prove to this guy, like, for taking away, you know, my scholarship and That was probably a memorable game for me too.
I distinctly remember Oregon up there when you're already celebrating, Covey hasn't touched the ball yet. That's got to be a good one, right?
Oh yeah. Oh man, yes, that is a good one too. That was, I knew that play. I was like, when they drew it up for Covey, I was like, oh, this is automatic with 6 points. I was like, this. Can I? Is there a way I can substitute for Covey so I can get this easy touchdown? Like, but yeah, that was a good little play too. Remember the punt return with Booby Miles? I mean, not Booby Miles.
The fake with Covey.
You've been watching Friday Night Lights.
Yeah,
I've been watching Friday Night Lights. but yeah, that was funny, man. But in all seriousness, though, but I think that Stanford one was probably my most memorable one. The game winner. That was pretty dope.
You can't be the game winner.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. And let's circle back around. So remember how we were talking to you. Sorry I'm keeping you guys longer than expected.
No.
You guys got me hyped. So coming out of high school, I remember Coach Rod, he was talking about Freddie Brown a lot and how I reminded him of Freddie Brown. And I didn't know who the heck Freddie Brown was. I was like, who's Freddie Brown? And he was like, and he explained to me, he was a guy from, around my area, California kid, came to Utah from a JUCO, and they call him Downtown Freddie Brown. People think he's a legend and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, he was like, don't you want to be a legend? I said, of course, who is this guy? Send me tape. I want to study him. So, when I first got on campus, I took down every stat of Freddie Brown. I knew exactly what his yards was as his career ends. I was like, okay, if I want to be mentioned as a legend or whatever it may be, I have to beat all Freddie Brown's records. Whatever Freddie Brown did, I have to do it too, plus more. And so, every year I used to just check off everything, just check off. So, literally, Freddie Brown was, the reason why I wanted to do everything. And it was pretty cool. I got to meet him and talk to him and stuff, and we got to chat. But, Freddie Brown, I was like, since he got a game winner against the TCU on a slant route, I have to give me a game winner one of these times. I don't know how it's going to come about, but it just wound up being, luck of the draw against Stanford, slant route, to win the game. But I just found that kind of ironic how I was, my goal was to potentially overtake what Freddie Brown was, because Coach Rod thought of me in the same light as him. So I'm like, man, I got to do what he did and even or more to be, in the same talks as him. So, I just thought that was pretty, pretty cool. It's just both of our careers kind of aligned similarly in a way.
That's awesome. That's not something that fans get to hear very often. So thank you.
Oh yeah. No problem, man. No problem.
That is cool. Is it bad that I'm going to have to go look up, Freddie Brown now?
No, Chase, man. Come on.
and the funny thing is, he told Dres that he was a David Reed. And I was like, son of a gun, son. I know for sure I ain't going to get 1,000 yards. Dres looked at all the passes. He's David Reed. God, dog it.
That's funny.
Oh, man. But nah, that's cool.
Okay, well, we appreciate you giving us all this time and all this information and everything. This has been awesome.
No, man, no problem. No, I appreciate you guys just for thinking about me and having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Chase.
I would say, this actually has been really pleasurable and awesome hearing these stories. And it's always neat to hear these from the actual athlete's perspective and what's going on behind the scenes. We'd love to have you on. We don't want to bug you or nothing too much, but maybe – near the end of the season, we'll give another shout out if that's cool.
Yeah, of course, man. You just hit me up on the DM and trust me, I'll respond. And we'll definitely link up again. And this was fun, so that's definitely for sure.
Okay, well, we'll get this all edited up and get it posted. Do you care if we tag you in it and everything on Twitter and everything?
Come on now. Of course, man. Of course. I'm going to go ahead and retweet it out back.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And then we're gonna name drop you when I'm trying to get more Utes on here. All right.
Sounds great. You're good at mine.
Okay. Well, thanks again.
All right, no problem. Y'all take care and have a good night.
You too.
Hey, you too. Have fun down there in God's country.
Sounds good. Take care. Bye.
See you.